Hey folks, quick intro here. Sonya Huber on the show today. Let's get right to it.
Good day, sir!
Hello there.
Hi, Sonya.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good. Let me just get my video on here. Nice to see you.
Hey, nice to see you.
So where are you?
I am in Western Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Yeah. In my in-laws' house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I see a lot of nice hardwood, nice cabinet in the background.
Yeah, this is like a bedroom of, I think, a grandmother who's now, you know, multiple generations of people.
Yeah, I'm actually in Houston, Texas right now, where it's swampy and real hot, and I'm hiding in the room that I lock the dogs in when I need them to stay away from me. So they have free reign of the house, and I'm in here.
I hope all goes well out there.
You. Yeah, thanks so much for agreeing to this conversation. I guess I kind of like to start these just asking what happened today. So what did happen?
On the day of the essay, you mean?
Or no, today.
Oh, today.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing is I got up and wrote, which was nice. And then I'm working on this big book about inequality in Fairfield County, Connecticut, where I live. So I did that, and then my son and his cousin, who had been up until midnight or one making ramen and FaceTiming with girls, slowly got up. And then, like a good serious conversation with my son.
Oh, nice.
And then everybody ate hot dogs. Now the kids are fishing, and yeah.
Hmm.
It's very humid here, too.
Yeah. Hot dogs, I guess. It's the 5th of July, so that must be leftover from yesterday. I've been doing much the same leftover wise and obviously still recovering from 4th of July festivities.
So glad it's over, you know, like the thank God we, you know, the tanks and the rain. Thank gosh, you know, I just particularly sad holiday this year.
Do you find that it's different to answer the question "What happened today?" like in a conversation than it is or was on the essay daily prompt? In other words, like writing about what happened today versus just catching up with someone verbally. Do they feel?
Oh yeah, I felt it was. It's different. Yeah, like I think that day. Well, I'd always wanted to do something like that, but I had never pushed myself to do it. I don't know if you've read this book, The Mezzanine by Nicholson Baker.
Yeah, it's one of those books that I feel I've read even though I haven't.
Yeah. You should just totally check it out. It's amazing. It's about like nothing, but it's about like I guess it's a novel, so it's not nonfiction, but it's like just this minute exploration of like every tiny thing that happens to this guy. And I've just always been like, God, I want to do that in nonfiction. That would be amazing.
Huh. What's the appeal of that?
I feel like I love nonfiction because I do feel like there's something magic in paying attention. And that we miss so much stuff. And that when you look at any moment, I tell my students always, like, when we look at any moment, there's an essay there.
Wow.
That's my belief, is that, like,
any moment.
Yeah, so, oh, yeah, like, totally.
So, like, this moment right now with, like, your ceiling fan, just one rotation is an entire moment. There's an essay in there, in one rotation
totally
of the ceiling fan.
I tell them, they could each write an essay about the horrible gray carpeting in our classroom, and they would be, like, you know, like 24 beautiful different essays.
Wow.
So, yeah. That, I guess, is my religious belief.
I love it. So writer's block is not for want of material, in other words.
Exactly. It's more for, just sort of like, well, and you'd have to be, I think, really desperate to write an essay about that ceiling fan. But sort of like if you're forced to, which I feel like was part of the beauty of the project, right, is like, this is your job, go do it. And then once you sort of have that constraint, then you're like, all right, and then you look, you know. Yeah. So that's what I think is so brilliant about it.
Yeah. Well, we like, I guess we rarely get to kind of lavish attention on the minutiae of life. And there's just like so much going on that we kind of just push to the periphery. And bringing it into focus, it becomes kind of strange. It's like, oh, I never knew carpeting looked.
Right. You start to like, yeah, I love that phrase, like lavish attention on it. Because then you start to really think like, what do all these moments mean together too? You know, like what kind of conversation are all these moments having in a day? And that's like, I think that's where that's the fun of it.
Wow. So presumably then, like part of the aim is to move beyond the tiny thing that you're writing about. They should add up to something about what? So like ugly carpeting plus ceiling fan plus hot dogs equals, we add these moments together, what happens?
Right. It's like about, like, I don't know, maybe this is like an essay about all the sort of bedrooms and other people's houses I've been like trapped in, or maybe it's about, I don't know. Yeah. Or like the decorating schemes of our dead grandmothers and, you know.
Wait, that's definitely an essay title. That's amazing. Yeah.
Exactly. Wow. Yes. I always feel like if you're looking at something like, say, the contents of a day or something that just like gnaws at you, the details surrounding that moment it's like an open invitation to figure out like, how do these things connect? Mm-hmm. And I think they always do for some weird reason that has to do with like just the underlying fabric of the universe or something.
Yeah. Wow. I love that. I mean, it's literally underlying. I mean, it's there and we're just not paying attention to it. Okay. But I want to offer another perspective, which is, on the one hand, we have like a Nicholson Baker who when he's, you know, hyper examining what happens when a shoelace becomes untied, seems to be making a holy moment out of this piece of minutia. And on the other end, you have like a Karl Ove Knausgård, who will spend pages and pages on spilling the coffee grounds in the morning. And
you're
then,
like, why did we go there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, it's dark and kind of, it's for him.
Sort of like suffocating meaninglessness, right?
Yeah. That's scary. So, I mean, I feel like, are we like, yeah, I don't know. How do we kind of make sense of that? I mean,
I have a theory.
Okay.
I feel like, I mean, I suffered through all six volumes of my struggle.
Wow.
And I felt like I had to, because I read the first one and my hatred was so profound that I was like, okay, just see if it really is this bad. I had an extreme reaction to it, I think. But I think part of it is that there's, I don't know, there's I feel like that narrator is making a lot of really emphatic statements, but is not asking questions.
Oh.
And so I feel like part of what the essay is supposed to do is ask questions and like have an open space where you're not sure what things mean. And I feel like, I felt like the conversation and the struggle in my struggle was just this barrage without any sort of like, what could this mean?
Wow. Huh. I love that. That makes me think immediately of the opening to your essay, which is about, like, I forget exactly how you phrased it.
I don't remember it at all.
Which is actually appropriate given the line, because I think it's something like, in between knowing and not knowing is the question. I think it's something like that.
Yeah. I think, yeah. Which I stole from a Buddhist, I'm sure.
I was detecting some Buddhist influence in the writing. Yeah. Is that coincidence?
Yeah, I'm a Buddhist. I meditate. And there's this actually this, so that the school that I'm in, there's a wonderful teacher whose work I read a lot of. Her name is Elizabeth Mattis Namgyal. But she's got this, one of her books is called like The Power of an Open Question. Mm. And so she's all into questioning. Yeah.
Wow.
Which I think is good for essayists.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So your Buddhist practice and your essayist practice overlap, you would say?
100%, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Which is more just like about like, I feel like too, like the meditation, like, I feel like it's this ideal of like observing without judgment.
Hmm.
And so I feel like part of what I do is I'm always judging. Like I'm totally not an evolved being. You know, I'm just like one judgment after another. And so then I feel like it's just like watching what I'm judging and being like, oh, why is that like that in my
yeah.
opinion? You know what I mean?
Wow. That's so funny because like I'm totally idealizing your approach to the essay right now and then thinking about my own experience as almost the opposite of that, which is the only time I get an idea for an essay, I'm like, oh, I hate this coffee shop. Why does it suck so much?
I feel like so much of my writing comes from shit that annoys me.
Huh.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, like that's an interesting conversation in Buddhism is too, like, are we these peaceful beings, right? No, like you open the contents of your head and it's just this like soup of nastiness. And like, okay, that's there. Is this like the most weird interview?
Definitely, okay. Definitely, absolute weirdest. We've just visualized cracking open each other's skulls and seeing the nastiness of the brains. Yeah, that's up there. I mean, okay. So if that's like a plausible kind of, I don't know, explanation of what an essayist is doing, cracking open their skull. I mean, what's the appeal of reading that? Like, what's the appeal of reading an essay about someone just absolutely, you know, harping on the little tedious things that bug them, shit that annoys me. You know, are my family members going to want to read that? Definitely not, because they've already heard all about it. So what's the appeal?
That's a good question. I mean, I feel like I have, what is this? Oh God, what's this guy's name? It's a novel. Have you ever read Stephen Dixon's Frog?
No.
Okay. So Stephen Dixon, he's a fiction writer and this is this huge book. And it really is another like Nicholson Baker mezzanine kind of thing of just like deep into this guy's life.
Mm.
And I think there's something about, minute observations, if they really come from life, that is comforting, because then we can sort of be like, I know that moment.
Wow.
Mm. And maybe in some ways be like, oh my God, I'm not crazy because I've had that moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there could be something really comforting, but also some like sort of identification that I think then, you know, at least creates interest, if not identification.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I feel like maybe when you sit down to write, you can kind of give yourself a version of that experience. Like if you're writing about something that doesn't make sense or is really disturbing you and feels like you're alone in this experience, all of a sudden you can try to unearth some of the commonness there.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's why I have to use essays just to kind of be like, okay, you can get through this.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, like I feel like I have come of age, if I can allow myself that title, probably not.
Sure.
Reading essays,
like
at different stages in my life, I pretty much read like Lopate's trilogy of essays about kind of coming into manhood in concert with my doing the same. And I find like at very least there is a level of companionship and solidarity there.
That's a really nice, that idea of companionship. Yeah. And somebody who's like, this is hard. There's good stuff. It's real. It's messy. Oh, this doesn't make any sense, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah, the
And
messiness.
I feel like it's especially resonant maybe for us because, you know, there's so much about projection of polished images. And I feel like the essay is like the opposite of that in some way, hopefully.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I mean, I remember when we were reading submissions for the What Happened project, like the essays that tended to for whatever reason, the essayist just had a great day that day. It was always like, well, screw you and your great day. Like, And then I hear about someone who's like depressed or like going through some awful experience, and I'm like, give me more of that.
So funny because I feel like so often when I'm teaching nonfiction, my students will be like, oh, I don't want to share this, it's depressing. You know, I don't want to bum everybody out. But usually, like, I think if you're reading, you're like, yeah, give me the real stuff, you know?
Do you ever find it difficult to like hold yourself accountable to the real stuff when you're writing? I mean, I feel like that's definitely something that I struggle with, and maybe other writers too, like being vulnerable, being honest.
Oh yeah, and I feel like there's layers to it too. Like I was just working on, you know, there's a couple essays that I was working on, and you know, I know that I know enough with writing to be able to sort of like make a pretty scene and kind of contain a moment and give it enough meaning and sort of you know, complexity so it feels okay to read. But then there's that other level of like, oh, well, this is connected to that fucked up thing in my childhood. Like, so I have to go there all the time, or, you know, so I feel like, and I, yeah, so I don't always rise to that, I don't think, you know, but I feel like it's always how to do that and do that with economy in a way that still is making this thing that moves the, you know, that moves the reader through something. I don't know, but yeah, I definitely. Everything I've ever written, there's just so many options for like, are you making this sentence because it sounds pretty and it closes something off, or are you opening things up, you know?
Yeah, I intuitively I'm having a response to that distinction between closing and opening in your writing practice. And it seems like closing has something to do with being overly certain, maybe, like
Yeah. Or like, I mean, I feel like we receive a bunch of narratives about, oh, this is supposed to go this way, or this is how I'm supposed to feel in this moment. You know? And so I feel like a lot of what I have to do in when I'm writing is like, do I really feel that way? Or like be honest when it's not the way I'm supposed to feel.
Oh
So I
my
felt
gosh.
the like the prompt for like the essay for the June 21st was really, you know, it could have gone a bunch of different ways, even with the same series of events. But like to sort of like, I think be, yeah, it's like you were saying before, to be vulnerable enough to say like, ooh, here's like, here's the sort of weird and maybe ugly or scared places my mind went in seemed like a normal day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Is that at all part of your like do you have kind of a daily writing practice? You said you mentioned you read this mo you wrote this morning. Is
Yeah.
that do you go there when you're writing in the
Well,
mornings?
I feel like I so this book project, I've been working on it for like 5 years, and it's like it's ended up being like I was originally just going to walk a municipal line between Bridgeport and Fairfield, Connecticut, right? It's like kind of like a immersion experience. And now there's like historical research. It starts with the glaciers. I was writing about John Hancock this morning, which just stuff that seems like, you know, like I don't really care about John Hancock that much, you know? And so the challenge has been, and my writing group is really awesome with this, like, how do I get myself into stuff, even if it's subject matter like John Hancock? And so that's the test for me every morning, especially with this book, is there's there's stuff that's so far outside my experience, but I still have a reaction to it.
Right.
And so to share as much of that reaction as I'm just, you know, not just dumping research on the reader. So that's my sort of challenge related to that.
Okay. So how do you kind of get outside of your comfort zone or share a reaction, even if the reaction isn't, I love this thing, I'm so excited about it. Yeah.
Or like, oh, this makes me really sad. Like there's, you know, there's massacres and horrible things that happen. And so I've struggled often with, like, you know, cause I'm an academic too. And so, and I've been a journalist. And so I sort of have this reflex to like go into academic or journalist voice when I'm presenting a lot of research. And so I have to really pull myself back into like my whole person and be like, oh my God, I'm so sad standing here at this roadside where there's no memorial to where all these Pawgusset were killed. And to risk sounding sentimental, stupid, schmaltzy. Like, that's not ironic. Do you know what I mean? To just keep going there. So I feel like that's like the vulnerability project, because every time people read my stuff, they're like, in this book, those are the good parts.
Wow.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we seem to put so much pressure on ourselves for having the appropriate reaction to stuff, and especially where it's like historical tragedy or like politically fraught, like the stakes are so high to have the right reaction.
Right. And to sort of in some ways not be shocked or not to feel things in some way, because it's like, oh my God, this is all... Like, to be cynical, I think, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the current nightmare of a book project that I'm slowly, you know.
where do you find, like, in the midst of this, you know, grappling with difficult emotions and going there, like, where are the moments of levity or joy in your writing life? Where does that stuff come from? You know,
I feel like part of what has been helpful about having readers read this book too, the chapters, is that, like, I'm kind of a scavenger when I do like the walking part of this book, and so I'm just always picking up random shit. And so I'd be like, oh, look, it's like a possum skull, or oh, it's the like wooden head of this decoy duck that's here. And I just put shit in my pockets.
Wow.
And I was so embarrassed by, and I have a big bin of it at home.
Oh my God.
I was sort of like not writing that. And then my friends are like, that is so weird and disturbing. Like, you have to write that part of it. So like, I think that's the vulnerability too, is like, oh my God, like parts of this are so weird. Like, I'm so weird beneath like sort of this like veneer of a historian or academic. So put all the weirdness in. And that's like the fun part, is me, like, whatever song I'm singing, like I'm singing this land is your land. That's what I was working on this morning. I was writing a scene, and I know from my notes that I was walking through this field of like this cane or reeds, and there was a knocked over chain link fence. And so I was like smashing through it, and for some reason I was singing "This Land Is Your Land."
Wow.
Like, in time to like get myself through, and they're like, that's the weirdest part, and that has to stay in.
Oh my gosh, I love it. The singing writer. Wow,
so embarrassing. Oh. But yeah, so I think, you know, like, there's just moments, there's an essay in every moment, and there's also in every moment just a chance to have a really weird or funny reaction to things.
I love it.
And so I end up doing that over and over again through the book, or for whatever I'm writing, is just like making sure that there's weirdness in there.
I love it. I'm going to carry that image of you singing "This Land Is Our Land," traipsing through the day. Sonia, I hate to cut this conversation off, but it's been 24 minutes, and that's my arbitrary cutoff.
Awesome.
But I'm having so much fun with you.
It was great to talk with you. Thank you for your awesome questions.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.